Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. This hour on the show, the city of Columbus, as you know, facing a budget shortfall. City leaders say that essential services like police protection could be to some degree compromised. One way to partially meet the shortfall, a proposed increase in the city income tax from 2% to 2.5%. That measure will be on your Columbus ballot in a special August election. We'll find out more about the city's finances, about the tax proposal and other issues as we welcome back Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. Great to have you here.
Great to be here, Fred. And this is your second to last day.
My goodness.
And I think I've been, how many times do you think I've been on your show?
Multiple times over the years.
At least 10 times.
City councilman originally, yeah.
Well, maybe more than that then.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the last decade since I've been mayor, by once a year at least.
At least.
We try to get on the air here, and I've always enjoyed coming on the air here, and you've done a fabulous job in this city, and you've served such a great purpose of educating the public and intelligent dialogue, and your listeners have been loyal to you and to the city. You've been loyal to the city. In fact, I want to do two things before we get started. I know we've got a lot of work, a lot of business to cover. But first, I want to congratulate you for
all your
years.
Thank you.
And wish you the very best in your retirement. We're just talking about all the things you're planning in your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it doesn't sound like you're retiring. It sounds like you're going to be pretty busy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give you this proclamation, this citation of recognition, recognizing you for all your years of service in this station and for our community. And here it is, to Fred Anderle.
Oh, very nice. Thank
I have
Mr.
witnesses. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks very much.
All right.
Mr. That's very nice.
And before we get started into some of your questions about anything you want to talk about in your listeners, I read probably one of the best poems I have ever seen.
Of any kind.
Of any kind or nature, by Joe Blundo of the Columbus Dispatch this morning. And with all due respect, I have to read it on the air.
Okay.
I know I'm going to mess it up.
Okay,
I know
Joe Blundo's
going to mess it up
this
morning. But let me give it, I got to take my glasses off so I can see the words.
All right.
All right. It's called Ode to Fred Anderle by Joe Blundo, Columbus Dispatch this morning. Here we go. Now hear the stormy airways fraught with vitriol and surly thought, the savage gale, the rush hour squall, the bluster and the caterwaul, the sports geek shows with special touch for fierce debate on nothing much, the know-it-alls who give and take, twixt 13-minute commercial break, the maelstrom of BS and bile.
Wow.
From end to end on the radio dial. And where find shelter from the dread? In the one safe harbor, name of Fred. Tender eardrums did he spare from bombast bursting on the air. While Glenn Beck went on outraged binges, Fred hung firmly on his hinges. His mouth unfoamed, his blood unboiled, his waters notably unroiled. Fred, who didn't demonize, exaggerate, or hanatize. Fred, who surely do repentance for interrupting someone's sentence. On civility, he didn't waffle, and his pledge drives weren't too awful. Fred left many an author shook by bothering to read the book. He let his learned guest expound on topics tiny and profound. Religion, restaurants, books and flicks, healthcare, Mideast politics, cooking, biking, insulation, nuclear proliferation. He never found a topic boring, or else he's good at subtle snoring. Agents of hyperventilation, practice, Fred, like moderation. But if you can't meet that demand, we'll keep our earplugs close at hand.
There you go.
Ode to Fred Anderle. Man, isn't that something?
I mean, it is indeed. Thank you, Joe Blundo.
Joe Blundo, I mean, he's actually a very good writer. And I read his column all the time, yeah. But this is very special.
It is special.
Very, very special. I hope that the Dispatch can put this in a plaque or something and give it to you because it is that special.
Thank you, Joe Belinda. Thank you, Mr. Muir. Sterling reading there. That was excellent.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, now, all right, on the August 4th ballot,
yes,
a proposed city income tax increase from 2 to 2.5%.
Yes.
Tell us about that. I know that no elected official likes to propose a tax increase if they don't have to. But you and city council and Hugh Dorian, of course, has been talking about this for some time, the city auditor. Tell us why you put this on the ballot and why you feel we need it.
Well, you know, Fred, we live in a very, very special city. We rank at the top of almost everything good in the country, and rank at the bottom in the country of almost everything bad. And we have our challenges, and we all understand that. But Columbus is a very, very special city, and we want to maintain that in our city. We want to maintain the quality of life in our city, and it is very clear to me. Who was the last person in City Hall to sign off on this? Because I did not, especially at this time, want to propose a tax increase. Was the last thing that was on our mind. But we felt we had no choice. We had and had to balance between the idea of maintaining the quality of life in our city or changing it radically for the worst for generations. And that's what we were faced with. And so the idea, the thought of a half a penny increase in our income taxes versus the consequence of not, it seemed to me that we needed to maintain our quality of life in a city. And the that benefit far outweighed than half a penny.
Mm-hmm. Is it that income tax receipts are down incredibly? Is that the major issue?
It's a combination of things. Two-thirds of our revenue in city government comes from income tax. Income tax come from jobs. And we have had in the past 10 years two major recessions. This is probably the worst we've ever had since the Great Depression. Actually, we thought the last one was the worst we ever had. That was right after 9/11. And it took us 3 or 4 years to recover from it. So it's a combination of things, jobs and ongoing expenses. And we have, this year I cut $160 million in savings and cuts this year alone. And over the course of time, it's over $600 million that we have cut over a period of time. I have cut our civilian workforce by nearly one-third, and we have spent less than what was budgeted almost every year since I've been mayor. In fact, we have spent $68 million less than what's been budgeted during that course of time. And we've had some years where the budget was actually less than the prior year. That doesn't happen in government very often. And so as we move into the year 2010, and we project our expenses and we project our revenue and we measure and try to gauge the number of jobs and the revenue coming from those jobs to our city to use to pay for police salaries and fire department and everything else we do in government, it is very clear to us that we really have no choice. I mean, this is something I have no choice on. To propose it to the public and give the public an option to make a decision of what kind of city they want to live in, a city that can maintain its city services at the current levels, because that's all this does. It just maintains our city services at the current levels.
May I ask, because yes. The revenue from this tax increase, if it were passed, projected to be $90 to $100 million a year, but the city says, according to the Dispatch, that next year's deficit is $105 million and still growing, could be up to $120 million. So what can be done about that shortfall? In other words, are there going to be further cutbacks? Will there be a trash fee if everything moves over to SWACO? Will we have some kind of a trash fee for recycling? A combination along with yard waste pickup, along with garbage. What's in store for us, even if this passes?
Well, first of all, if it passes, doesn't mean that we're flush with money and we can go on to this big spending spree. We won't do that. We still have to continue to be efficient as a city government. We still have to continue to tighten our belts. We still have to be very cognizant of our budget. And so we'll continue to cut and do what we have to do and to be efficient in our city government. In fact, we had city council pass a resolution identifying areas that we will hold ourselves accountable to the public, everything from our management contracts, employee contracts, to looking at things like a trash collection over the years, that we will hold ourselves accountable for over a period of 10 years, that we feel we can save $100 to $150 million over that period of time. So, we still are going to have to, tighten our belts even then. It doesn't mean that we're going to get all this money and just start spending it. No, we just want to maintain services at the level that we have it now. It does mean that those folks that are – we cut the yard waste program, and there's now a subscription program, and people have to pay for that now. It does mean that our intention is to pick up that service, and there won't be a subscription program anymore for yard waste pickup. There will be no need for it because hopefully that will take care of it. We just want to maintain what we have now.
A couple of questions about SWECO, which runs the landfill essentially. The possible proposal is that they would take all of this over and that everybody would have yard waste pickup and everybody would have recycling. And they might conceivably apparently take over the garbage pickup as well. But they then have the authority to raise property taxes in order to pay for that. What's the likelihood we're going to see a rise in property taxes in order to pay for all that pickup?
I don't know the likelihood at this point. I mean, if that happens, it's years away. And the only time we would really look at that is if other jurisdictions beyond Columbus would also look at it. It's not just a Columbus issue. It is Worthington, Westerville, Grove City, Dublin, Gahanna, Hilliard, all those communities will have to sign on to the same program.
So it'd be a regional program.
It needs to be regional, not just the city of Columbus. Mm-hmm. SWECO is a regional entity, regional garbage collection and waste disposal operation. So any resolution or any issue relating to garbage collection for the city of Columbus must apply to everybody, not just to those in the city of Columbus. So I think that while that is something that can be talked about at some point, I don't see it anytime soon. But it is something that should be discussed. It absolutely should be discussed, but it has to be on a regional basis.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if apparently the Rumpke service now for yard waste, about 10,700 households have signed up. So do you think –
How many do you have?
10,700 is the number from the dispatch.
I think dispatch is always right, but it's around 20,000.
Around 20,000 at this point. Okay. Well, we'll go with that.
Isn't that right?
So
I think it is. We'll double check that.
Now, do you think that means that a lot of that yard waste is going to the landfill in garbage bags, and isn't that a problem?
It is a problem. It is a problem for yard waste to go into the landfill. There's no doubt about it. What else do we cut, Fred? We have to cut something. It is a problem. We've given people an option, though. And the option is for people to respect their environment and to take the initiative themselves to do the right thing and put yard waste in bags and have it picked up. And my hope is that people will do that. In the past, the city has made this nothing's free. I can call it a free service, but the fact is the city, we paid for it. Taxpayers have paid for it. And now it's a subscription service. My hope is people do the right thing and not put yard waste in our landfill. And that's my hope.
Some reports that people have put it out by the curb or behind their houses next to the trash bins. And, of course, it's not picked up if they're not paying for the service. And, of course, that could be another problem for the city.
That's right. I mean, that's the kind of situation we're in. We're catch 22. Mm-hmm. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
So this SWACO idea, the idea of the landfill operators coming forward and saying on a regional basis, you know, maybe we'll do yard waste, we'll do recycling, and maybe the garbage as well. That's right. An appealing idea.
It is an appealing idea, yeah. But everybody's got to come to the table. It can't be just the city of Columbus. It has to be regional.
Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman with us, 614-292-8513. You can email questions or comments to openline@wosu.org. Now, Mr. Mayor, as you know, Police Chief Walter Distelswagy said if the tax increase doesn't pass, there could be layoffs. Retirees wouldn't be replaced. There could be 324 fewer officers, although he said they would not be street patrolmen. You wouldn't have a lesser presence on the street. But at a meeting last night, an informational meeting with the public, people said, well, if we pass the tax increase, they asked this question, can you guarantee, Mr. Chief, that there will be no layoffs in the police department? And, of course, he couldn't guarantee that. And Mr. Mayor, could you guarantee that there'd be no police layoffs if the tax increase passes?
Well, the whole point of this tax increase is to save these jobs. I mean, that's the point. The whole point of proposing a half a penny increase in taxes is to maintain our safety forces. You know, we've cut a lot out of the city, and we're going to cut more. But I'm drawing the line in the sand when it comes to our safety forces, because the thing – safety forces is also garbage collection. That could potentially go to every other week, and not just every week. And so I'm drawing a line. I'm saying public, if this tax increase doesn't take place, what may occur is we may change the quality of life in our city. And frankly, that's the one thing that we have in our city to sell to businesses and job expansion and expand our residential base. That's why our population keeps going up, because our job quality of life is maintained and is high quality in the city of Columbus. And so, frankly, that's the point. That's the point. That's why we're here. That's why we're saying, hey, we start laying off police officers, we start laying off firefighters, it's going to change our city. Fred, 73% of our budget is safety. When I took office, it was 63% of the budget. And what we've been doing is cutting everything but police and fire. So over the period of time since I've been mayor, it's now 73% of our whole budget is police and fire. And I've been cutting out of that balance all this time. And we're at a point where I continue to cut in that remaining, 27%? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
27%. But at this point, we have to also begin looking at cuts related to police and fire. So the whole point of going to the ballot is to save our safety forces in order to keep our community safe. Safety forces as well as other things, frankly.
So Mr. Mayor, you would guarantee that if voters pass this increase, that there would be no personnel cuts in either police or fire at any level?
Well, if things remain as they are today, that I could guarantee that our police and fire would not be cut, our uniforms, police and fire would not be cut. Now, that is if things remain they are today. If we have some kind of major catastrophe that changes the world, you know, you can't hold me to that guarantee.
Or if tax receipts continue to tumble in terms of income tax receipts, that they could be a new ballgame. Huh?
Well, no. Well, you know, we gotta see what's going to happen in our economy. But as things look the way they are today, based on our projections as we know them today, that we won't have to lay off police and fire. I've been doing everything but laying off police and fire up to today.
So no uniformed layoffs, at least, if the tax increase passes.
And if things remain as we anticipate them to remain.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, an email. With all the skepticism, our listener says, from citizens and what seems like fear-mongering from any number of city departments, wouldn't it be a good idea to publish salaries of all city officials and their operational budgets in plain, easy-to-understand English so doubts could be dispelled? If people saw that budgets and salaries were reasonable, they might be more disposed to okaying the tax increase. Why should we take the mayor or police chief at their word, says this listener?
Well, all that's public right now. I mean, people can look it up. It's available. It's transparent. City government is transparent. There is not a secret in city government. There is not a salary that is not public. Everything is public. All you got to do is just look it up. It's there. So,
by the way, where do we look that up? I'm not sure I immediately know.
Call 645-7671. Call Dan Williamson. He'll give you the whole nine yards. Whatever you want to see, you can see. I mean, all our salaries are very public. Mm-hmm. Everything. There's nothing that's not public. So, you know, there's no secrets here.
The word fearmongering has come up on the part of a couple of the citizens. How would you respond to that?
Well, I guess I'll respond to that is, look, you know, if this tax increase fails and we start laying off 300 police officers, people will say, well, why didn't you tell us? Well, guess what? We're telling you now. Make your decision. This is not fearmongering. This is just math. This is just addition and subtraction. You know, this is math. So it's not fear-mongering. I just think people need to know what they're voting on. And if they're voting on something based upon things that don't make them feel comfortable, you know, that's the way it is. But the truth of the matter is they'll have an option. They can vote against it and they can vote for it. And I want to give people the option. If they don't believe us, vote against it. If they believe us, vote in favor of it. It's simple. It's math, too.
All right. Let's go to 614-292-8513. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mayor.
Yes.
And also, Mr. Fred, we're not only going to miss you, Fred, but we're going to miss Fred Simon as well, the late safety director.
Oh, certainly, yes.
Oh, yes. That's Colin. Absolutely. I knew Fred Simon, and marvelous man. Marvelous man. He was safety director for the city of Columbus in the 60s during a very tumultuous time of our city. And he was a good man, strong character, very, very good safety director, and became confident for many people of over the years. So I wish his family our condolences and respect this man in such a great deal.
Indeed. Caller, you had a question as well.
Yeah, I have to know Fred Simon personally, as well as the police chief and Detective Jerry Ryan at the time. My thing is twofold. One, you got people who live outside the city, work in the city. They don't get to vote on the issue, but yet only the people in the city of Columbus will be asking for this tax. Well, on the other side, why can't the city work with the county in providing a sales tax, which would go all over the county? That way everybody who ends up not voting for the income tax could equally get a share of the pie, rather than relying only on the citizens of the city of Columbus to do what is right and wrong. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, Mr. Mayor, our caller asks, of course, those who work in the city but don't live in the city pay the city income tax, but they don't get to vote in August on the tax. And our caller asks, have you considered maybe a countywide sales tax as an alternative in which possibly others could share revenue as well?
Well, first, let me talk about the sales tax. Cities don't have the authority by state law to impose a sales tax. I'd love to be able to impose a sales tax. We just don't have the legal authority to do it. In the state of Ohio, unfortunately, municipalities are given very few options of their revenue sources, unlike other cities and other states around the country. There are few. There are just a few options. One of them is a garbage collection fee. Mm-hmm. Another is an income tax. We can write tickets. We can charge for parking, those kind of things. But we don't have vast authority to raise revenue but from a few sources. Sales tax is not one of them. And we looked at this and – and just no city in the state of Ohio has that authority. It is a state and county function. Mm-hmm. Number one. What was the second part?
Well,
about the living outside the city, residential. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is nothing new. This, the city's income tax has been in place since 1948, first proposed by a man by the name of Jim Rhodes, who was the mayor of Columbus in 1948, later to become the governor of the state of Ohio for 16 years. So this tax has been in place for ever since 1948. Now, having said that, the question is, well, why do you tax folks that work in the city and live in the city? First, that's the law, number one. But number two is that those who work in the city and live in the city actually use the same services. The fact of the matter is that if this building right now, Fred, were to begin to burn down, firefighters would show up. They wouldn't ask for your ID and ask you where you live. They would take care of the problem. Or if there is a criminal situation, the police would not deal with a Columbus resident differently from a Westerville resident if they are in the city of Columbus. Those who work in the city and those who live in the city use the city services about the same level. And we do not discriminate. We do not put toll booths on streets as they come into the city of Columbus. They come in freely, and if they work here, they participate in the services that we offer.
Is that a constant, by the way, around the state with other city income taxes?
Yes.
Those who do not live there but work in the city pay
Yes,
the
it's
tax?
Not just city of Columbus.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's not just city of Columbus. It's a statewide.
All right. Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman will have much more to say about all of this after we return from these messages and your phone calls at WOSU 820 NPR News.
WOSU News reports on stories from around the state and in your backyard.
Representatives Kilroy and Space both say they have not yet taken a position on the climate change bill.
Well, I want to see what the final bill looks like.
Look, I'm trying not to approach this from a political perspective. I'm trying to approach it from the perspective of doing the right thing.
Get more from your news with the award-winning WOSU News Team on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us for Open Line this morning. It's 71 degrees in downtown Columbus. Join us at 1 o'clock this afternoon for On Point. On Point talks with Toni Morrison, novelist and Nobel laureate, about censorship and the power of the free word. That's at 1 o'clock on Point, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And watch Pride of the Buckeyes on WOSU TV on Wednesday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. WOSU's Emmy Award-winning documentary follows the Ohio State University marching band from tryouts to the bowl game. Go to WOSU.org for more information. And taking a look at the weather forecast, some sunshine today, but a good chance of rain showers and thunderstorms off and on throughout the day, and a high right around 80 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, rain showers and thunderstorms in the evening, and then skies clear overnight and a low of 55. Some sunshine on Friday and a high of 75. Currently 71 degrees, and now back to Open Line.
Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. As we know, the city is facing a budget shortfall, and city leaders have placed a tax increase proposed on your August 4th ballot here in Columbus from 2%, which the tax is currently, the income tax, to 2.5% as special August election. We're finding out more about the city's finances and that tax issue with the Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman, 614-292-8513. Email questions to openline at wosu.org. And Frank, you're next. Hello, Frank. Frank, we want to get you to turn your radio down, and we'll hold off till you do, where we're going to have a 12-second delay. Jesse is here. Hello, Jesse.
Hi. First of all, thanks to Fred and the mayor for all your work over the years.
Thank you. Thanks, Jesse.
Very welcome. I'm definitely fully in favor of this income tax hike and the idea that, folks that have, work out or work within the city and live outside the city. I think that's kind of irrelevant. They are using the same infrastructure while not, you know, paying into the property taxes to help our schools. I mean, this is something we need. This is something we've needed for a long time. It's been 20 years since the income tax was raised. Is that correct?
Actually, closer to three decades. It's been 27 years exactly. And the average period of time, and a little history on the income tax, if I can, Fred, is it started in 1948. It's a nonpartisan tax. Jim Rhodes, a great Republican, proposed it and was successful in 1948. And the last time it was increased was also by a friend of mine and a great Republican, Tom Moody, who proposed another half penny increase. And that was in 1982. And the average period of time that this income tax has been increased has been 11 to 12 years between 1948 and 1982. It's been nearly three decades. And we have been, you know, frankly, cutting and trying to be more efficient. And, you know, and frankly, I was the last one to sign up on this thing. But I had to draw a line in the sand saying, hey, we're going to lay off police officers, cut back basic city services. We have no choice here. And this is, Fred, I got to tell you, this is the worst time in the world to propose an income tax increase. I get that. But guess what? I didn't pick this time. The time picked us.
All right.
We didn't have a choice.
Jesse, you have a quick question here?
My question wasn't as much related to the sales tax, but I was wondering if the mayor had any ideas about what was going on with what used to be Greenbrier. I live near James Road, and there's this huge land, you know, trees and all that fun stuff. But
okay.
It's fenced off. And,
gotcha.
Just curious.
Sure thing.
Well, you know, it is not publicly owned. It's Greenbrier. It was an area that was known as Uzi Alley. It was the definition of blight in America, and it was a horrible place to live. And I toured that place several years ago. It was something that was third world in many ways. And the city did not own it, but it was a place that I can't describe how horrible it was, and probably for the residents as well. And we got in a big fight, a big public fight with the owner of that area. It's about 55 acres, 121 buildings. And we went to court, and I sent the code enforcement people out there every single day, cited them for everything. And we went to court, and we had enough citations where the court allowed the city to go in and ripped down the buildings, and we also placed people from that horrible environment called Greenbrier into places around the city, much nicer places, but, you know, it wasn't as awful as what that was. And so we tore it down, and again, we do not own it. Now, last year, we cut the grass, even though we don't own it, because it's vacant land now. This year, we, as you know, we're not even cutting our grass in our parks, much less somebody else's property. So grass is growing up. Now, having said that, I understand that there's been some foreclosure actions against the property owner, and I do believe there are several private entities as well as public entities that are interested in getting control of the property. I know Bexley wanted to get control of the property, turn it into a park. I know there are other private entities out there that wants to get a hold of the property. But I got to tell you, I am glad that it's no longer there. It was Uzi Alley in our city for 20 years, 25, okay. 30 years. So we next.
Good. Jesse, thanks for your call. And let's try Frank. Hello, Frank. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I wanted to ask first, you know, you talk about 30 years ago, the tax did not increase and all that. But at the same time, the city has been growing. More people are working. So the income to the city is also growing as the city grows. So if you look at your budget now versus your budget 30 years ago, I'm pretty sure it's a lot larger because more people are working. But my main question is, we know we're in bad economic times, and the city wants some money now and wants it desperately. Have you ever thought about the idea, say, go ahead and tell people this is going to be temporary, it's going to be, say, for 2 years, 2.5%, and after 2 years, unless the voters approve it again, then it will be terminated, because hopefully by 2 years, the economy will get revived and people will be working, the city income will be more, will be higher, and they'll be more stable.
Okay. Let's ask the mayor here. Mr. Mayor, did you consider making it a temporary tax in case the economy revives?
I did, and looked at it very carefully, thought about it, and researched it, and here's where I came down on it. The truth of the matter is we probably needed the – well, I know we needed this income tax increase several years ago. And this income tax we need regardless of this recession. The truth of the matter is that if we need it desperately 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, and we're at a point now, the recession just makes it worse, makes it a crisis, do or die. But we needed it several years ago. And if we needed it then, we're definitely going to need it, you know, 5-10 years from now. And I think it would be – I could politically, I could say, yeah, let's do that. Let's make this a sunset provision where that in 5 years and 10 years that the tax will go away and then we'll go back and look at it. I'm just being honest with the public. The honesty is that we needed it then. We're going to need it as much, if not more, then later.
Let me ask you, Mr. If the city needed that tax increase a couple of years ago, but why didn't city officials propose it then, if that was true?
Well, first of all, I didn't have a crystal ball. I've been looking for one, and I can't seem to find it.
But if you needed it then.
Well, yeah, we did. But you look at these things in hindsight. I believed at that time that we could manage through anything. And we cut. And we were efficient, tried to be as efficient as we could be. And I always believed that we will always grow, we will always improve, we will always get new revenue. And that's not the case. The fact of the matter is the 2010 budget is likely to be a similar size budget as the year 2005. But I didn't have the crystal ball to say that was going to happen. And I didn't know we were going to be in this kind of crises, national crises, you know. And I'm not ashamed to admit it, that nobody did.
Okay. Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman is with us this hour. Cy is next. Hello, Cy.
Oh, good morning. Oh, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Mayor.
And yes.
My respect for all the wonderful presentations every morning. My question is that I am sure I speak on behalf of at least 1,000 people in my community. I am not a resident. I am a resident of the Columbus, Ohio, but not a citizen of the United States. However, as a homeowner, I was told that there are some aspects that I can vote for. Is this one of them? I'll take my answer off the air.
Well,
you're saying you're not a citizen, is that right?
I'm not a citizen.
Yeah.
You have to be a citizen to vote.
Even for the city?
Yes. Voting requirements are the same. You have to be over 18 in a United States citizen. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you have to be a resident of the city of Columbus.
Sure.
As well.
Okay. So thank you. Our next caller is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello. First of all, love your show. I just want to join the Honorable Mayor and Joe Blundo and everybody else who probably calls up and say, oh, I really miss you, Fred.
Thanks so much.
And the question is, the City of Columbus provides, I'm a resident of Dublin, but the City of Columbus provides my water. I was wondering how the failure of the tax proposal would affect water rates. Mm. And I'll take the question off the air. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if the proposal fails. Yeah.
It won't, because that's on a separate system. Water rates are governed by water revenue. So what the region, not just the city, what the region pays into the pot whether it be Dublin, whether it be Westerville, whether it be Columbus, whoever, in the entire region, it goes into the pot, the water pot, the water revenue pot, and it's used to provide water services for the entire region. So it won't impact it. It's separate. It's separate.
Okay. If the income tax increase fails at the polls, will you look to other possible fees, immediate imposition of a trash fee or something similar?
You know, I might. I don't have a plan B yet. My hope is that the citizens will do the right thing and support this income tax request and make the decision to keep the quality of life in our city and maintain our services at the level that we currently have. If it fails, I'll look at every option available, and everything will still be on the table. But I can tell you, like a garbage collection fee, if we went that route, it doesn't raise what is necessary to maintain city services. Let me give you an idea of what I mean by that. And one of the reasons why I didn't pick a garbage fee in the outset as something that we would propose, it raises about $30 million. We need $105 million just to maintain services for next year and continue on for future years. So it really doesn't – it gets about one-third of the way there. So I would look at every option. And the reason I didn't pick garbage fee in addition to the fact that it doesn't raise enough money is that it has an impact on everybody in our city, no matter if you live in a $80,000 house or a $1 million house. You pay the same rate. And it has a unfair, disproportionate impact on senior citizens. A income tax does not tax senior citizen pensions and retirements. It exempts them from that. And I want that message clearly known that senior citizens and their pensions, they are not impacted by this tax. And frankly, but they have the most to lose as well if this thing goes down.
If it goes down, are there a combination of tax instruments? Mr. Mayor, you mentioned that city options are few.
Yeah, they are.
But we have a trash collection fee. Are there some other instruments that in combination might raise that $90 to $100 million that the tax increase seeks to raise?
No. I could probably put together $30, $40 million of taxes and parking and tickets and, and every time somebody turns around, they're getting, hit with something, and it won't raise what we need to raise. The biggest thing will be the scalpel, in this case, the axe. So rather than impact services at $100 million level, we'll have to impact services at some lesser level, $50 million, half that. So, I would take the worst-case scenarios today and just cut it in half. Mm-hmm. Basically.
So if the measure passes, it would raise the income tax for the city from 2 to 2.5%.
Yes.
What are some of the other cities around Ohio? What are their rates? Cincinnati, Dayton, Cleveland,
well, right now, the city of Columbus has the lowest income tax rate in the state of Ohio. Columbus and Cleveland have the lowest income tax rates in the state of Ohio. The other cities, other major cities in the state, have higher rates. And they've had it for a much longer period of time. We've been at a low rate, the lowest rate, for 30 years. These other communities, and they're great communities, have had long-term higher rates than us.
Higher than 2.5% or about 2.5%?
No, higher than 2%. We're at 2% now.
And so they're at 2.5%?
So they range from 2.1% to 2.75%. Mm-hmm. That's where they range right now. My expectation is that those cities will, get income tax increases as well over time.
Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman is with us, 614-292-8513 on your August 4th city ballot. A proposed increase in the city income tax from 2% to 2.5%. a special August election, Mr. Mayor. There are those who say, well, look, this special August election, $540,000, the reported election cost. Why didn't the city wait till November? And some people are saying that, well, you know, a lot of people who might vote against the tax are going to be out of town on vacation in August, and the city is potentially taking seizing advantage of that. How do you respond? Why the August election?
Those are from the great conspirators, the great conspiracy theories. There's no conspiracy here. Here's the deal. The deal is this. Our city's not going to make it to the end of the year. We're not going to make it to November to deal with this situation. The fact of the matter is that we are in crises. This is an emergency. And if I could have got this before the public before August, I would have. The fact of the matter is we have to make a decision. And if this passes, what will happen is revenue will start coming into the city as early as October. If we had gone in November, we begin our layoffs in August for 2010. Our layoffs begin this year for 2010. And the reason is to have fewer layoffs over time. If we all wait till next year for these layoffs, it'll be much harder, much more difficult to go through. And the same thing we've done a couple of years now. For 2009 budget, we began our layoffs in August of 2008. We began our cuts in August of 2008. So the reality is that what I'd like to do is to give the public the option of deciding what kind of city we're going to live in and they want to live in, and give that option in August. If it fails, we begin August 5th, the day after election, on what our layoffs will be.
All right. We have a number of callers suddenly on the line. So, callers, I'm going to ask you to be very concise so we can get to all of you, hopefully, before we end. And, callers, ask your question very quickly, if you would. David, you're first. Hi.
Hi, Fred. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I'm one of those who's in favor of the tax. I congratulate the mayor for being out front here and on the radio and taking questions.
Do you have a question for the mayor now?
Well, my question is, should the tax pass? There's been a lot of discussion about what's going to be cut. Should the tax pass, what happens at that juncture with this additional revenue? Are we talking about reinstating some of the layoffs? Are the rec centers that were closed going to be able to be opened again?
Okay. All right. Any reinstatements here?
Good question. Our game plan is to not have police and fire layoffs. That's number one. Number two is that the cuts that you're going to hear more about in the next few weeks, you know, you're going to hear more about closures and other things. We don't want to go through any of that. We want to maintain what we have today. There will be some restoration of some of the rec centers that we have closed. We have 30 centers. We've closed 11. We won't open 100% of them. We'll open the vast majority of them. It might be one, maybe two that won't open, but not for financial reasons. But the idea is to get them back, you know, in back funded, fully funded. So there'll be some limited restorations, but mostly we want to maintain what we have today. And that's the only thing we can commit to at this time.
Mm-hmm. No commitment to city job restorations or city position restorations at
no,
this point?
No, I mean, there'll be some, but it won't be – like I said, we still have deficits. It won't be massive deficits. But what it is, frankly, you know, an $8, $10 million deficit is something we can handle. A $105 million deficit changes our city.
All right.
For the long term.
Casey's on the line. Hi, Casey. Do you have a question?
Yeah, quickly. I'm curious to know, given the importance of the bill the tax initiative, is there a particular item in the city's charter that necessitates a public referendum, or is this something that could be settled in a legislative session?
I'm not sure
I understand the question.
Yeah, Casey,
because
people are unlikely to vote for an increase in tax when they're being asked directly. Would the city legislature be able to implement a tax increase themselves, or is it something
city
that
council.
We have to put public for?
No, the way it works in Columbus, and I believe it's by city charter, and it may even be by state law, I'm not sure, but the law provides, whether by charter or by state law, is that a tax increase, income tax increase, must be voted on by the public. That is the law, and we really have no choice.
Casey, thanks for your call. And Mark, do you have a quick question here? Hi.
I do. Hi, Mayor.
Hi.
A pleasure. I wanted to ask you, you had mentioned it wasn't fair necessarily to the lower income people to initiate a fee for the garbage collection. I live in Gahanna, pay for my own garbage collection, but work in Columbus and am taxed there, but yet I'm not going to get to vote on it. Can you specifically answer that, the fact that the people who will be taxed but won't have a say in that?
Well, it's the law. Number one, and it's been that way since 1948, maybe even before then, so it's nothing new. I'm not proposing anything that is not the law. But number two is that those who work in the city use city services about the same level as those who live in the city of Columbus. And when we start distinguishing between – and they work in the city, you know, we – you know, for example, I talked about when police are called to a scene, they don't take your ID and say, hey, you live in Grove City. We can't help you. We take care of you. If it's fire department response, they don't ask where you live. They take care of the situation. And so from my perspective – and the perspective of the law, it's fairer, and it's spread out among more people. But the fact of the matter is those who live outside the city and those who work in the city and live outside the city use our services of the city at about the same level of those who live in the city.
Mark, what do you think?
I don't have a problem paying for my fair share. I think that the people of Columbus should be paying for their own garbage collection.
Well... okay.
I do.
Because that's a service, obviously, you don't use. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think $30 million would go a long way to helping out this problem.
Well, it will help, but it doesn't come close.
I understand.
To dealing with the problem at the way that we need to deal with it.
It's a big problem, and I appreciate your efforts because I normally support you 100%. I enjoy the job you do.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Let me see. Roland, if you're very quick, you can ask a question. Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, let's say I live in Hilliard or Dublin and I'm paying 2.75% income tax to the city, and I work in Columbus. Am I right that the city of Columbus takes the first 2% and what's left up to that 2.75% goes to Hilliard or Worthington or wherever? And if you then raise the tax a 0.5%, what you're essentially doing is taking 0.5% away from the surrounding community's income taxes?
I don't think that's the case.
No.
I don't think that's the case. We're not taking anything from surrounding communities at all.
Well, am I right that if I live in Hilliard and pay 2.5% in Hilliard, the first 2% go to Columbus because Columbus is, you know, say I work in Columbus? Columbus gets that first 2%.
Yeah, I just think your overall tax goes. I think your overall tax goes up. It doesn't. It does not result, though, in the revenue being taken from that jurisdiction.
Mm. Okay.
So my tax rate would go up to like 3.25 instead of 2.75.
You know, I have to get back to you. That's actually a very good question.
Okay. The person to get back to here, Dan Williamson, the mayor's communications director, 645-7671. We want to give out that number again, 645-7671. Thank you all, sir. We couldn't get to all the calls and emails. Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman, thank you once again for being with us this
hour. Thank you very much. And Fred, you know, it's interesting to note that the two icons will be retiring in the same week. Jay Leno and Fred Anderle. And you're both of the same quality and the same importance to many people. So congratulations to you. We're going to sorely miss you in this city.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate you being on the show today. When we come back, spiritual writer Thomas Moore reinterpreting the Christian Gospels for people of all faiths. Listener supported WOSU and WOSU HD8.